Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu صلى الله تعالى على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise and thank Allah عز وجل. And when this praise and thankfulness is from the heart of the person, then it has a different value. Anything which has a reality in it, it is very much different than just saying. There is a one person who says that I love such and such person. Anyone can say, saying the words, uttering the words, it's not a difficult matter. But when a person really means, and the other person also knows that this person really likes or loves me for Allah Azza wa Jal, then when you have the love in the heart and you say, it is completely, entirely a different matter. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, Jalla Shanahu, is all-knowing and all-aware. What my servant is saying, what my slave is saying, is it with the good intention, is it with reality, or is it just utterance? As Hazrat Sayyidina Bayazid Bustami Rahmahullah said, when a person said, sitting with him, Allah, and he said, Rahmahullah, that you will be questioned on the Day of Judgment about this saying the word Allah. That why had you uttered it? Was it for glorification and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or was it just for another reason? So if even the name of Allah Azza wa Jal someone says or recites kalima, that person will be also asked question, now what to say about other things and other utterances which we say. So try to be truthful and sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when you know that you cannot somehow hide or conceal anything from Him, so it is futile and it is useless actually not to be sincere, not to have ikhlas. When you know the other being, you are dealing with such supreme being, Allah Azza wa Jal, that He's all-knowing. So that's why the munafiqeen, when they said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and they said, we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal said that they are lying. Although the words they were saying were truth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ, that Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah testifies that they are liars. What did they say? Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. So imagine, because in the heart it was not there that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. In the heart it was not there. So they were saying day and night that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger, just to show people and just to attain some benefit. So we do not want to be amongst those people that who have spent time in remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, have spent time worshipping, and then at the end of the day, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal is still displeased and He says that you have not been doing the righteous deeds for me. You have been doing it for another reason. So it is, as I say, that future when you are caught already, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows about that person. Even angels do not know whether a person is sincere or not. This is a matter between Allah and His Messenger. The angels write down the good deeds. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these good deeds you have written, transfer them into the scrolls of munafiqeen, to the scrolls of people where their amal are written, that they are not for me. Then the angels, they transfer it. So if a person have true intention, good intention, angels are not aware of it. Shaitan, imagine Shaitan knows very many things, but he never knows when a person is sincere or insincere. He can put the thoughts, this is one of the amal which he cannot be aware of. All others, if you are doing, if you are sinning, if you are doing righteous deed, prayers, you are fasting, he knows that a person, although they, as you have heard, the fast is a matter between Allah and the servant, but Shaitan knows when a person has broken his fast. That inside the back room he was eating apples or what, he knows. Because he is with you. So even that Shaitan actually knows. But ikhlas is such a precious amal. It is such a superior amal and of a such high value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let anyone know that that person has ikhlas, meaning sincere. Is he truthful with me from the heart or not? So when you are insincere, Shaitan doesn't know. When you are sincere, the Shaitan doesn't know. He doesn't know for sure. He can have an idea. He can have guess, but it is a matter between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you know that only Allah azza wa jal knows, then no one can know. Then a person, if he keeps that amal, inshallah, by the fadl of Allah, this amal can be so much virtuous that one day one person can achieve salvation by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that amal. Imagine, remember, recall the story which Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned in the hadith, which is narrated in Sahih Bukhari, about those three Muslim men who were caught in or locked in or they were blocked off in a cave. So it was raining or the weather was very rough and they went to seek refuge in a cave. So while they were in the cave, a big, very big stone weighing tons and tons, it actually came in front of them, front of the where the access they came, or the exit was. Small exit, a big stone came, so they had no chance actually of survival there. Now they are blocked. The stone is there, they were trying, but they cannot do. They tried their best. Because they were Muslims, alhamdulillah, and people, righteous people, and also they have been sitting with good righteous people and Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam in their lifetimes. So they said, what shall we do now? What shall we do? Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, we are doing that. But each of them said that we should present to Allah azza wa jal something which no one knows why we have done it. He said, what? How is that? They said, we do many amal, but no one knows why we have done them. Can you, brothers, he said to the other two, can you think of any one amal in whole of your life which was not so that the people say that you are righteous, people say you are good, people say, oh, it is for showing off, not for fame and name or glory or any other reason. Can you think of it? They said, they thought and they said, yes. So one of them, this long story, and Rasulullah s.a.w. was mentioning to a companion, to Sahaba Ikram, to give them further insight and teaching by the hadith, by their story. So each of them prayed with their hands up. I'm telling you the value of ikhlas and the value of the amal which actually has ikhlas in it. One of them put a hand up and he said, that's on such a such day that my parents, they asked for water or milk at night time, or milk. And I went to get milk and my parents, they fell asleep. My children, more babies, they were there as well. So they fell asleep, I did not see it suitable to wake them up. You see, this is respecting the parents and honoring them. And my children, they were also, babies, they were also hungry. But I was thinking in my that I have more right. My parents have more right upon me than I have for my children. So I did not give them the milk and stood there. Night passed and I stood there. Only when they woke up, I gave them the milk or the drink to them. But did not give my children, which was a natural instinct to give to the children or the babies. So one person putting his hands up and he said, "Oh Allah, that if you know that I did that amal of respecting, honoring, sacrificing my own instinct for you only, Allah ke liye maine ye kiya hai, agar sirf aap hi ke liye kiya hai, aapke ilm mein hai, so relieve us from this grief and this difficulty we are finding, we are plucked." So they say that a part of the stone had moved. So this was meaning that person had done that amal with ikhlas. Imagine. So similarly, another also said something, and he was offered, he had been saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from zina. He had done a deal with a woman, and he used to say to her, to call to her for this bad amal with bad intention. So once that woman, that lady, that girl was in dire need of money. Her household were dying, or there was dire need. So she came. She said, "I want." She was their relative. She was rather a cousin of that person. So that is why Rasulullah ﷺ said that people like brother-in-laws and all these relatives, they should be extra cautious not to mingle and freely mix and to sit freely with the cousins and with brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws, that there's extra caution. So people think that if an outsider come, that he should not be sitting or she should be observing hijab, but when cousins and from all sides, like uncle, aunts, daughters, sister, all type of different cousins and in-laws, Rasulullah ﷺ indicated in hadith that they are mixing and their interaction is even more dangerous than the people outside, the alien people, the outside people, the strangers. There are several reasons. Now, we don't know the full reason, but the ulama has said that because the outsiders, when they come, they are stranger, everyone will notice that who is coming into this house, or the mother, father, or why this person is in the room or in the house, why is he sitting in the front room with you, why did he come? So there are so many obstacles, but who is going to stop brother-in-law or the cousin? Who is going to stop him? No one is going to even object him. Neighbors will say, "See, their cousin coming every day, he comes and it's their household, it's his uncle, he comes into the house." So there's no restriction. So that makes easier for shaitan and for those people's nafs as well, actually, to get into the sin. So a person should very much avoid. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that shaitan even changes his direction when he sees Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala coming along the path. So why did they have swords with him or machine guns with them? No. What does shaitan fear? He doesn't fear any weapon or anything like this. He fears the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has a taqwa and muttaqi he is, shaitan fears that person that he is not going to come into my, and he is mukhlas. Mukhlas and mukhlas. He is sincere. So shaitan also said in the, it's come mentioned in the Quran, he said, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I will misguide and lead astray everyone. All the servants I will lead astray. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, but your chosen and sincere slaves and servants I won't be able to. Because as I said to you, he doesn't have access to sincere people. He doesn't know where there is sincerity between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan might be thinking that he has that person, but he will not have, because of that person is sincere and true with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even shaitan said, "I am also, my hands are up from to sincere people, I cannot do anything." So he tries first to not to let people become sincere. Sincere means true, truthful, that when they do something, they really do it for Allah. They have. Otherwise, your amal, they are fake, like fake notes and fake coins. They don't have value in the market of Akhirah. In the bazaar of Akhirah, they won't have their fake notes and their fake coins. The amal are there, like you recently heard that 22 million or any so much currency has been stolen from bank in Ireland or somewhere. Now they said they've withdrawn all the money, the new notes. And they declared that whoever comes with these notes, the such and such notes, new notes, that he will be caught. Although they were original. But imagine if they are fake, so they are already known. So when it will go to, you can show me, I have £1 million in a briefcase and I am very rich. Well and good, you can show me, I will see the notes and how do I know if they are fake or not? I don't know. Exactly they are same. But when the same money will be presented to the bank or people who know, they will immediately, the person will get arrested and they will know that it is. So similarly, I can mislead you by my righteousness, by my piety, my worship, by my zikr and by my prayers, whatever good deeds. I can deceive the neighbors, I can deceive the brothers, that look, I am righteous, but the amal are not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what will others say? They will think that that person is doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when in Akhirat, when it will be presented to Allah Azza wa Jalla in the bank of Akhirat, when the people who know, like angels, and their judgment, they will be told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now these are sincere amal, these are not for me. Then a person will not be able to do anything. He will be arrested there and shall go into the hellfire. Straightforward. No matter if a person has given a life for Allah, for this sake, for sure, he has become shaheed. But that shahadat was not for Allah Azza wa Jal. It is said, Rasulullah Azza wa Jal, the first, these things, these people will be brought into account on the day of judgment. There will be many courts on the day of judgment. He said that these people will be brought firstly in one of the courts. And these will be people who had given, one would be shaheed who has given his life, one would be a great scholar or reciter of the Quran, and the other will be a generous person. So they all will be asked, have you been doing it for Allah? What have you been doing? They all will say, oh Allah, I was very sincere and I did this and I did that. And the other long hadith, but he'll cut it short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you've not done anything for me. And he said to the angels, and said that, arrest them and throw them into the fire of hell. So such a great amal, a person can, it can still lead a person to hell. So sincerity, ikhlas is such a virtue set. So I was saying to you about Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar al-Farooq. So shaitan fears, and so he radiallahu anhu once spent entire life, his night outside, when he came after Isha, and he came and in David's household, and that night his wife was not at home. She had gone to visit relatives or her relatives, her parents. And that night it was only Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and her one or two daughters. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala did not stay in the house, but he stayed late into the mosque, and then after he came from the mosque, he stayed outside, sitting outside in the cold, shivering, and then in the Fajr time, Tahajjud time, he went to mosque. Why? People asked him. He said, I fear, although they are my daughters, but they are still women. They are still women. So I fear that shaitan might not actually put any wrong thought in my mind or my heart or their heart. So these are the people who shaitan fears, that how can he come near? That they are so, that as the ulama said, that vara, wariness or taqwa is that a person sometimes leaves halal and lawful thing in for the fear of getting into a haram thing. So he even leaves a lawful thing. So that person is called, has a high standard of vara or taqwa. That a person sometimes he leaves a lawful act, he says, by the fear that he might. For example, a person knows he is not going to watch bad or programs or obscene scenes in the TV. He knows. But he also knows that I am not so strong, my iman is not so strong, maybe I am not able to switch off the TV or switch off the channel. So I would like very much to see the Taraweeh in Kaaba Sharif or to hear a scholar speaking or whatever question answer session. But he knows that he might get sidetracked. So even he, because of that, although it is good, but he, if he is listening to Taraweeh or anything, that is halal, there is nothing wrong with that. But in the fear of that he might get into the sinful, like films or any other program which he will get sinful through, he even leaves watching the lawful thing. That is taqwa. So that is the ulama or the salihin which they say that avoid watching TV. Not they saying that it is completely whatever is goes in the haram, but meaning that those people, 95% people will use it for sin and for displeasing Allah and become instrument of shaitan. So that is why shaitan also, in the Quran is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that alcohol and khamar and maisar, juwa jisko kehte gambling is haram. Allah said, قُلْ فِيهِمَ إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَعْفِيُ لِلنَّاسِ. There are benefits in there as well. But the harms of it and the sin of it is outweighs the benefits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haram. So some person might win 1 million today. It's not that no one wins. But the harm is that he might lose 2 million in the next day. So at the end he is a loser. So similarly, certain amal, a person by Sharia, what is fatwa is different matter. I am talking about taqwa and people who want closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew very well that this is my daughter. And not a normal person would think that he is going to do anything bad with his daughter. But look at the taqwa. This is taqwa and this is ihtiyat and this is bara and wariness or being more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to rely on oneself and to be fearful of Allah. So that is why shaitan said that shaitan also fears Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, no, not because he was aggressive or anything, but for the reason that he was so much cautious in Sharia. So that is why Sharia, the divine law, is the greatest thing which a person can act. This is the door through one which enters the court and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some other amal, they are the amals of the heart and other things. So they have their value, and the amal of Sharia has their value. And I was saying to you, this person who was invited for zina by this person invited her cousin to zina, and she did not want. So she came in dire need. She said, "I want £5,000 or 1,000. He said, "I will give you, but if you listen to what I say." She was so much dire in need, so she said, "Okay." And she came into the room, and he had full control over her. She still said that, "Fear Allah and do not disobey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So this person at that time, he began to shiver. And the thought came that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching my this amal and my intention and my situation. And the power which Allah has over me is great. He can punish me immediately. Whatever he wants to do, he can do with me. So he feared and he gave that money and he said, "Let's take the money," and he repented. So he mentioned this amal in sitting in the cave. He said, "Ya Allah, if I had only done that for you, I feared you only, help us." The stone moved more. And the third person had a financial matter. One person came and gave him some investment, or you may say, goats or sheep, amanat. So this person did business with that amanat. So let's say he gave him 2 goats. So when I come back, you give me 2 goats. He said, "Okay." So when he went, this person went away, this person traded. He did business, from 2 it became 4, 4 it became 8 and 12, and there were hundreds and hundreds of goats. So when after 1 or 2 years, this person came,
and he said, "I want my money back or the gold." He said, he pointed, he said, "Oh, take your, this is all yours." That was from hundreds and hundreds of goats and sheep. He said, "No, I have mine only two. But if you want to give a gift, four." Now he didn't know this person, that what happened. Or he was not demanding. But this person thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Rasulullah said that this person said that it is with your money which you gave, I actually invested them, this is the, it is yours now. Because that job, that's given, we had not done a deal or anything. It was left open, so I benefited as much as I could. So it is yours. So he said, he did his hands up in dua, he said, "Allah, that if I had only done it for you, help us." And no one knew what he had done at that time, why he was doing. Only he did for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah s.a.w. said that the big stone actually completely went on one side and they were open. Exit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا." Whoever will adopt taqwa, Allah will create an exit for him from that situation. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create exit from a situation, then it is not difficult matter for him. Many situations will be difficult for us, but nothing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also shows, this hadith is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, that the wasila, the concept of wasila, when we say that a person should wasila, like some people believe, some people don't, but it is very clear from this hadith that they presented the wasila of their amal. They have done amal, for example, a taqwa, or they had a person feared Allah and saved himself from zina or so. So they said, by the wasila of our amal, oh Allah actually granted. So when we say that a person, it is allowed to give wasila of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and awliya Allah, so we say to these people that are the amal of these people more virtuous or more status, or has the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got, or Anbiya has more status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They are just presenting their amal and nothing compared to what Anbiya alayhi salam, their personal status and their awliya Allah. So if they can present the wasila of an amal and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted, so what to say about a person who presents the wasila of a Nabi, or from, of the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the names of Allah azza wa jal, or the good deeds. But what made that those good deeds so much valuable was their ikhlas, I am saying to you, their ikhlas, the sincerity in it. Because they had done it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Abdul Aziz Dabar Rahmatullah said that these long lives, I mentioned to before as well, we have is for these, this matter, that even one amal with pure ikhlas of a person does, that can become sufficient for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive that person. Even one amal. Many people have been forgiven in one amal. But you never know until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment decides that yes, these amal are for me and they are not for anyone else. And then the mashayikh says that be steadfast on the tariq or on the sharia, the path. They give the example of eagle. Eagle is known to be king of birds. So eagle jo hota hai, uqab jisko kehte hain, baz Urdu mein, eagle never, it flies high and high and high into the space and in the air and lives in the mountain. It has certain qualities. It does not eat what other, any of the prey of any other animal. So if an animal has actually cut open another animal, or a bird has caught another animal, so if it's there, the eagle would not eat that. It's in the nature of the eagle to eat only what it catches or prays for itself. Secondly, it does not also eat dead animals. Murdar ko bhi nahi khata. No matter it's a cow lying dead, it's not concerned with it. He's high above. He does not sit on petty tree and things like this. So the Mashayikh actually say the Wali of Allah has these qualities that he, Wali of Allah, is, they say that you also be like an eagle. Eagle is never tired, that he falls down. He doesn't never falls down because of flying, tiredness through flying. We can fly higher and higher for hours and hours. Never know. He comes and sits down and he rests, but he never falls down. So they say that you also fly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the wings of sincerity and taqwa. And say the real servant of Allah, jo Allah ka asal banda hai, jisko Allah ka jis par fakhr karte hai, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud. He is not like petty birds sitting here and there and going here and eating everything. And no, he has standard, he is the servant of Allah. Isi tar liye jo hai, dusre parinde hain, the bird, the sparrow, they are flying. No one's bothered about them. Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmahullah said that no one bothered about other birds, but the eagle, where do the eagles go? They go on the hands of kings. Kings jo hai, badshah jo hai, wo eagles rakhte the in ancient times. And they would keep eagles for praying, etc. So similarly, he said, if you have high aspiration and do not, you are not caught or attempted for haram, like the eagle does not eat the haram food, for example, the dead animal, etc. And you keep high aspiration, either you will live on mountains or you will live on the hands or in the palaces of kings. So they say that Ma Abdul Wahhab Sharani Rahmahullah said that a person flying is the nature of the eagle. It's the nature of the eagle. It never tires and actually falls down. Similarly, they say the servant of Allah, jo Allah ka jo banda hai, wo is dunya mein goya, in shaitanic world and in this world and this destructive world, there are so many distractions, wo bhi rehta hai. So there's ground and there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qurb and Allah's closeness is high. So this person also, through the wings of ikhlas and taqwa, this person also flies. He's never tired of flying. Meaning he's never flied of coming obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm praying day and day, day out, day in, and I'm abstaining from sin. Yesterday I abstained from sin, today there's another opportunity. I again have to abstain from them. This is his flying. This is the flying of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is like the eagle, that he is never tired of it. It is his glory is in flying. Wo niche nahi aata, never. It's not concerned with petty things, as I said, sitting in this tree and houses of normal people. It doesn't sit. You never see eagles sitting in houses of normal people. So similarly, they say the Mashayikh and Awliya Allah, in the spiritual world, they are eagles. So they are servants, they are different birds like us actually, but who will just be fall on maybe dirty things like stool and rubbish, and also sit this house and this house, wherever there is a woman is there, the disco is there, and there is another thing, and there is another program going on. That normally we are falling for these petty things. But eagles, they only mountains. Or the sky is their limit. That's not limit, they fly and fly. Similarly, the wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, or the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincere servant, he has flies towards closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or lives on the high mountain of righteous deeds and good deeds and the high traits which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the high qualities which Rasulullah SAW had, he aspired for them and he attends those. And then they always, I remember one of them saying, they always used to teach. He said, every disciple, he used to say that I want you to become like eagle. And he used to give example that never eagle never is tired and falls down because of flying. He's never. Similarly, you, in obedience of Allah, you fly as well. You also fly in obedience and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never fall down. Or rest when you want. So a person rests, he says, the wali of Allah, he sleeps. He has rest. He also sleeps. But he never falls down. If accidentally he falls down, he again gets. So there is no guarantee that eagle is never going to fall down. Eagle can also fall down. By mistakes can happen, or he is caught, or somehow he can fall down as well. He can fall down as well. But he never intends to fall down. He falls down, he goes back again, and never intends to fall down again. So similarly, servant of Allah, sometimes they can commit sins, they do mistakes, they fall down as well. But they again, they go and they don't never intend to come back here. That is the reality of tawbah, that a person does not intend to commit that sin again. And then Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani Arhamullah further said that the eagle's never caught, it's so high, that it will never come down. And but how does he get caught sometime? In the hands of people who want to sell him, sell it and to catch it and to then doing business. How do they get caught? He said they get caught by maybe another bird, which they are pretending to be a bird or a piece of meat, or the techniques or the tricks which they apply. So he said that if a person falls down, he falls down for the love of dunya. Servant of Allah, if he falls down, he will fall down for the love of dunya. Because of dunya is like a piece of meat that he can compromise on that sometime. He does compromise and then that is his downfall. Otherwise he was living in mountains and skies, now the eagle is living in the cage. Because it fell down for a piece of meat or a bird which he thought that is for it, and that was a catch and that was a trap. So that's why in Urdu also there is a saying about the eagle. It says that Tundiye Bade Mukhalif se na gabra al-qab. So the eagle flies into the air and said that Tundiye Bade Mukhalif, that means that the severity of the gales or the winds, that he is saying to the eagle that do not become despaired and do not become afraid of that the winds are very, very this at least 100 miles per hour winds are blowing, and the gales, and the eagle is also, because it is nature is flying, so they say the eagle should not be afraid, because that wind which is blowing is not actually to put you down. If the eagle want to come down, it's fine, but it is to you, eagle should use it. They say Tundiye Bade Mukhalif, ghabra, don't be afraid of this severity and this swiftness of the wing. Ye to chalti hai tujhe uncha udane ke liye. This is blowing to make you more higher. So the more wind comes, you use your wings and you become more higher actually through the heaven. So similarly, as they say, the Mashayikh say that when Wali of Allah who is, and the servant of Allah who is in spiritual world, he's king, like the eagle is king of birds. Lion is king. He is also king of. He is a king in the spiritual world. He also, when the opportunities of sin come, when the winds of and the waves of this of the wind of the love of dunya and shayateen, it blows here as well. But they say that servant should not become despaired, but he should use this opportunity to become more close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. So I'll find the opportunity to sin, money. Or the beautiful woman who is inviting me. So this is quite a storm for me in the spiritual. It is a storm that the shaitan has prepared this sin for me. So the storm comes and he says the eagle, if it is the eagle, he should not actually despair and he should not be afraid, but use it to get more close to Allah. By avoiding it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah said in Sahih Hadith in Bukhari, that a person who will turn down the request to entertain an invitation from a beautiful woman for zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let him stand under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, when everyone will be in otherwise in trouble, the sinful people. Allah ke Allah ke arsh ke niche usko jagah milegi jisne jo hai wo Allah ke liye. So him, it was a storm. Shaitan actually, from shaitan it came as a storm, a sinful activity, an opportunity for sin. Ke usne ek aurat ke zehen mein he put in a woman that invites that person for sin. So it's up to me and you to either we can fly high or we can actually dump down in the ground. So wo hawa ki to sin. So similarly, you and me, alhamdulillah, they are opportunities for good deeds, but then even opportunities for sin, you can, if you react rightly and goodly, and by using the techniques and the methodologies given by Allah Azza wa Jalla and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you can even fly more high. You can attain taqwa. Imagine, a person can be righteous, but if there's no opportunity of sin, there cannot be a taqwa. There's no opportunity to sin, taqwa hona. Yes, the person can be righteous, like angels. Angels are salihin, but they are not muttaqin. Angels are righteous beings, they are good beings, they are good angelic beings made of light, but they cannot achieve the status of muttaqi or taqwa, because they don't have opportunity to sin, so they are not. So, alhamdulillah, a Muslim, a seeker of closeness of Allah, he is not frustrated, oh, I am getting this opportunity of sin here, this person is inviting me towards that. Yes, there will be, but you use it to become more close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like and see that this wind and this air is there. It is not to put you down. You will put down yourself. No one can put you down. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the most superior creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can shaitan have authority over you? He doesn't have any authority over you. If you rely on Allah azza wa jal and use his guidance, shaitan is inferior than you. Anyway, jinnat, dusri makhluk, they are inferior creation. If you act upon the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the more. Allah subhanahu azza wa jal said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We honored the sons and the descendants of Adam. We have crowned him to be a khalifa on the face of the earth. So like eagle, it's not his job to petty things. Isse lad raha hai, he's disputing with the wife and neighbors and other things, and he's entangled into all this web, and he's becoming a footballer of shaitan. That is not his status. Uska to kaam tha ke pahadon par basera, that live on the high mountains of the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, other kings, queens, anything, birds, the arrows of the people who catch angels, eagles, when they are living in the mountains somewhere, high on Mount Everest, nothing reaches there. Maa kuch bhi nahi ho sakta. Maa shaitan kya kar sakta. So similarly, when a person uses the opportunity to sin even, to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be living in such a high mountain of the closeness of Allah and the marifat of Allah and the love of Allah, and in the glory of Allah, that even shaitan will say, I don't have any chance to become successful in misleading this person. So remember that Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, again in the Quran, inna kayda shaitan kana za'ifa, that the web and the planning of shaitan is very weak. If you become really a servant, if you really become what Allah has created you, اب ایک چوہا جو ہے ایک شیر جو ہے it becomes it behaves like a mouse or a fox, تو پھر who is that wrong, that something is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be superior, then if that person himself puts his head down in front of dunya or in front of shaitan, then no one can elevate that person. No one can elevate. So Rasulullah sallam has the best guidance, the highest spiritual power. So people living with him, seeing his blessed face every day, some people became deprived because they had put their heads in front of shaitan and dunya, and they were not able to benefit. And people who lived far further away, like I gave you an example, Hazrat Uwais Qarni radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Shaykh Abdul Aziz Dabaw rahmahullah, ye log jo hain, they are in the spiritual world, they are the real eagles. Ye hai Abbas. Shaitan in ke paas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud and boast above angels, ke ye hai mere bande, ke jo gunah ke kareeb nahi jaate, and they are never tired of flying. If they rest, they are resting on the mountains. If they rest, they rest with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his zikr, in his yaad, and in his marifat, and in his love. If they never actually, they fall down. So inshallah, Allah azza wa jal said that I have created the creation, and ponder over the creation of heavens and earth and the animals which live in. So even mashayikh, when they see animals and or birds for that reason, they also take lesson. As I said, Imam Hassan Basri rahmullah said that even a dog has more than 10 qualities that if a person adopts, he will become a wali of Allah. So to eagle hai phir baaz, to phir baaz hai. So alhamdulillah, An ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a person who have potential to be a khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not suit. The scene is very bad when he is sitting on the lap of shaitan and hands in hand of shaitan. Or shaitan has put a chain around his neck like a dog, and wherever shaitan says, go here, and this is your enemy, and he is fighting with that person. You hear ghusa, animosity, ghusa. Maybe the person is not your enemy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing like this, and you are fighting and quarreling and causing chaos and disruption and with people. You are chained with shaitan. So shaitan kutte ki tarah mujhe pakda hua hai, and he says, come on, get him. So I am not thinking that who am I? Main kaun hoon? Main Allah ka banda hoon. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka ummati ho, and he is servant of Allah who has the potential to be khalifa, and then he, like a dog, is following shaitan. It is a very disgraceful scene, really. That is why they are going to be punished. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to get any benefit from punishing people or any harm, but it is a punishment for people like us and me especially, that they dishonored Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well by becoming disciples of shaitan. Unhone Allah ki bezti ki Rasulullah dishonored Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That you were created as a human being, you were created on the blessed form of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you were given such a great prophet, and such holy Allah, and pious and righteous people passed in you, and you still became a disciple and a dog of shaitan, because shaitan ne jab kaha, and you were following shaitan. But the wali of Allah, or at least the person who is seeking the closeness of Allah, he or she does not behave like this. He becomes disciple of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or she becomes disciple of Rasul. When Allah, dekhe rahe, kutta jo hai, Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, one thing I mentioned to you, other things which he mentioned, inshallah, another time we'll mention it. Amongst those 10 qualities, he said that this is one of the qualities of dog. That when the master says, get him, the dog goes. And the master says, sit, even though that person has thrown a stone at the dog is not going to get him. Kutta nahi uthega. The master says, sit. No, the dog wants to at least jump on the other person. The dog is going to sit. So Imam Hassan Basri ne farmaya ki Allah ka banda jo bhi isi tarah hota hai. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yeah, you can unleash your anger on that person in jihad or in shaitan, then that person unleashes his anger. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no anger, nothing. Although the nafs is boiling, the blood is boiling hot to take revenge. But he said, Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah said, but the dog, being an animal, is disciplined. If it's disciplined, it sits. If it's not disciplined, then it's not going to listen to anyone. Sirf my in India, mein, Pakistan, mein, kutte hote hain, there are so several types of dogs. One is those disciplined dogs, which Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah says. And the others are, they say, they street dogs. Which is called logar kutte. That they are just wandering here and there, and they will eat from where they get. They are not disciplined. So anyone says sit, they are not bothered. So say go, they are not bothered. Yeah. So if a dog is like that, it's not going to listen. But if a dog is disciplined, like they are trained, they can become highly. So this Imam Hassan Basri Rahmatullah says that if you also train the dog, your nafs, which is like a dog, it will also sit when it will hear the command of Allah. Then if ye logar kutta ban gaya, it became a street type dog, phir ye kisi ki baat nahi sunega. It will eat haram, lawful, unlawful, it's not concerned with that thing. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla enable me and you to understand the teachings of the awliya Allah and Mashayikh and Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to act upon them. Really, really, you have a great status if you understand. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the Quran as well, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. You have the potential and power to overrule shaitan, overrule nafs, even to become high, that even angels are surprised at how that person is, where that person is going, and how high his status is. Angels are surprised. Who live in the heavens, but they are surprised, and they look with a positive, you may say, jealousy towards that person in living on the earth. And I said that these people, now as well, there are righteous people who are living and in the past as well. Now may Allah enable me and you to understand and act upon these teachings. Inshallah, I intend to mention some of the teachings of Sayyidina Abdulaziz Dabbar, rahmahullah. Hopefully, if we live up to next week, inshallah, regarding the tawadu and humbleness and about dealing with people, how a person is dealing with people, what should a person understand. There are some very beneficial teachings of his. So there is one or two page, inshallah, we will study amongst his teachings. It is very, very important to have correct dealings and etiquette and manners with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That really reflects how much that person is close to Allah azza wa jalla. So inshallah, anything any brother wants to mention, they can. Any questions anyone wants to? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.